Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean, the weekend edition. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back both Saturday and Sunday, because those are the weekend days. This morning, did I say that I'm Glenn ZB? I think I did. I still am. This morning, the cricket is going very well, so we'll look at this. We're going to talk cruising, because it's time to think about your next holiday now that you just got back from your last one. The netball not going quite so well, and the New Zealand connection to the latest Winston Churchill movie, The Darkest Hour. But before any of that, what's Jack been doing on his holidays? He's been walking the Heafy track.
For the final 2 days on the Heafy, the environment, again, totally changed. That's the attraction, I think, of the Heafy. You experience such diversity. From the Nikko Groves to the native forest to the closest thing to an alpine tundra you will find in Aotearoa. We trudged on, walking for 6 or 7 hours a day, marvelling at the beauty and the quiet, the total absence of cell phones and cars and planes overhead. My blister bandage worked a treat, and even though an especially enthusiastic snorer cost us most of our 8 hours in a hut one night, we love chatting with the diaspora of people sharing the huts. I hadn't actually done a full great walk before. I'm embarrassed to say it. I hadn't walked the full length anyway. I've done little bits and pieces before of the Queen Charlotte and the Milford, the Abel Tasman, but the Heafy was my first track end to end. It was a privilege. It was a real privilege. If you have ever considered tramping a great walk, don't hesitate. Do it. We don't know how lucky we are.
I think the thing that worries me about doing those so-called great walks is I want there to be nice toilets along the way. Are there nice toilets? Can somebody... I can't do anything unless I know that there's going to be a nice toilet at the end of it. And to be honest, these days, not even at the end of it, during it. Do I need to just drink less coffee? Is that what's... And can you get a decent coffee along the way? I don't know that the Heafy tracks for me, to be honest. Now, I tell you what though, the cricket, that's actually been a good watch.
Yesterday, a 15-run win. It's not the widest margin. Were you always confident that they would get there?
Well, I think once they got, I thought 280 on that pitch was going to be, I said at the start of the day, that Slady would probably be a winning score. 250 would probably be a defendable score because it was a slightly worn wicket and a little bit slow. And so once they got 270, 271, I thought they were probably going to win it. Yeah.
As far as the bowlers were concerned, not just yesterday, I guess, but across the series, which of the New Zealand bowlers has really impressed you?
Oh, well, obviously, Trent Bolt has been the pick. It was good to see Henry come in just for one game, pick up 4 wickets. So, you know, he did very well. And Saudi just chips away. He's a sort of the senior pro. So, I mean, I think all of them. I mean, maybe Lachie Ferguson. It's good to see that extra pace. I'd actually like to see his extra pace in the test match rather than the one day as so much. But, look, they're all performing, the batters, the bowlers, and you know, it's a very healthy situation.
Do you feel a bit sorry for Matt Henry? I mean, as you say, the guy comes in, gets 4 wickets, never really plays badly for New Zealand when he gets the chance. It's just a matter of getting the chances for him.
Well, yes and no. I also feel sorry for some of the other guys who are knocking on the door as well who don't get a chance. At least he's on the inner circle. The selectors seem very loyal to the incumbents, but there's guys like Titchener and even Ferguson during the test series. I didn't think he got much of a go because, you know, they're sort of showing loyalty to people like Henry. So he's in there and he's sort of in the inner circle, but... you know, I think there's a few other players knocking on the door as well.
Jason Pine and crew talking cricket there. We're sitting mixing up the sports host at the moment. We'll be back with a different one shortly. But before we get there, Lorna Zabretsky has been taking care of things on Sunday mornings over the summer. And she had Megan Singleton, the blogger at large, talking cruising yesterday.
Look, I'm nearly 83, and I'd just like to say, if you decide you'd want to go on a cruise and it's on your bucket list, just do it. Don't wait until everything's all tickety-boo. Just get out there and do it. Otherwise, you'll wake up one morning and you'll find you're too old. That's all I have to say, thank you.
That is a marvellous tip. Thank you, Jackie. And I love your zest for life.
And I know who you are, Jackie. And I love you so much. And let's go on a cruise together.
Oh, there you go. You've had the invitation now. There's been another question through on the text machine 9292 about cruising. I'd love to do a cruise, but I have mobility issues. Do cruises cater for disabilities?
You know what? They're probably the best way to travel if you have mobility issues. So firstly, you get on up a ramp, you know, and if you've got a wheelchair, that's going to be easy. In fact, they are so good at this that even if there's like a wire, you know, because when you get back on the cruise ship on and off, you will have to have your luggage go through a screening process. It's just like a little mini airport. There are ramps over the wires, there's everything. And then on board, there's easy access, there's lifts, so you don't have to take the stairs. I personally make a rule for myself that I must take the stairs so that I can go to the buffet table. But there's lifts everywhere, their corridors are wide. Cruising is probably the best way to get around with mobility issues.
Oh, there we go, and that's a fantastic response.
Yeah, as that first lady said, cruising, don't wait, just do it. All your reservations are completely unfounded. It's awesome. In saying that, it's been about 20 years since I've done it, but boy, it made an impact with me. Now, let's talk about the netball in the Northern Hemisphere. We're just not that good at netball anymore, are we? I don't know what's happened. Because there's only three countries that play it, and now we can't seem to play it.
One of the big work-ons for you from last year was that pressure netball coping when crunch time happens in games like this situation. Had that been a real work-on leading up to this quad series?
Yeah, it has. And the frustrating part is these things do take time, and you know we're working as hard as we can. The girls are working to be fast learners and to show that. And I thought for most of the match they did. And then when the pressure came on in that last quarter and, you know, there was a lot of noise there, just didn't absorb it and carry on and do the work that they had been.
Are you confident this is something that can be fixed and ironed out in time for the Commonwealth Games with a couple more games to go in this quad series over in South Africa?
Yeah, absolutely. It's our first game together for a while and, you know, we know that we've got to be better than this, and I think it's been a really good wake-up call.
It is a tough way to lose a match. How have the girls taken it? Obviously, bearing in mind the busy and important year that is ahead, what's sort of been the reaction from the team in the dressing room post-match?
Oh, yeah, look, in the changing rafters, they're very disappointed. But the reality is we've got a number of girls who have never experienced that sort of game and going into extra time. And so from a what-if point of view and building experience and knowledge of what you have to do in those things, it's really great to have that experience. But you know, there's certainly some big learnings there, and the reality is we've got to turn that around really quickly.
Yeah, well, how quickly are you confident that things can be turned around? Obviously, it's a tough trip, another reasonable travel distance, heading over to South Africa to play another team at their home turf, South Africa, before wrapping up against Australia. I mean, are you confident that things can be turned around in this series for you guys?
I'd like to think it can be, and I think it's just, you know, taking ownership and being being able to hold each other to account and just, you know, keep pushing. And we certainly know that we are there and we're doing some great stuff. And for like most of the catches of the game, they did a really good job on what we'd asked them to do and what they've been working on all week. So the challenge is putting those out.
Yeah, we need to sort this out. Otherwise, women are just going to have to play rugby, I guess, and forget netball because it doesn't seem to be working. We're going to finish up here talking Winston Churchill and the Darkest Hour.
Now, why Churchill? What was the inspiration behind your story?
We kind of live in a very divided world right now and very polarized world, made so largely by all the disparities in what people have and what people feel they have a right to. So, you know, very complex time. And so it felt appropriate to do a portrait of a great leader. And I'd always sort of been attracted to Churchill as a potential subject. But it was a little intimidating, to be honest, to write words humorous jokes for Winston Churchill it smacks a little bit of hubris.
Yeah.
After the success of Theory of Everything, I kind of was feeling a bit plucky, and I thought I'll have a go. And if I screw it up, I'll just no one will know. So yeah. We'll give it a shot.
So writer of both the book and the movie, Anthony McCartan there. cheap bit of a show-off, isn't he, doing all that? Sometimes I do feel like I'm just wasting my time and I should really go out and achieve something. And then I think, well, you know, I have done about how many of these podcasts now? Oh, 1,700. Look at that. 1,700 News Talk Z Beans. So, you know, I've achieved something. It's just nobody knows that I have. I'm Glenn ZB. That has been episode 1,700 of News Talk ZB. I'll see you back here again with 1,701 tomorrow.